Let's review. We talked about where not to start last week. You don't start with advice, because your advice could be from any angle, right? And you can find people that'll tell you anything. All right? You can find people that'll tell you anything you want to hear. Can you find people today that'll tell you it's okay to get an abortion, to live together in fornication, to marry someone of the same gender, to cheat on your taxes or your tests, or all that? Yeah. Okay? So advice is not where you start. We'll get into advice later on, but that's not where you start. You don't let circumstances dictate what God's will is, because circumstances require interpretation. Okay? If God allows you to be sick, is that a yes or a no? How do you know? Okay? If God allows you to have a flat tire, is He telling you not to go somewhere? How do you know? All right? Circumstances are not a good indicator. Now, we're not saying sometimes circumstances completely close the door, but they're not a good indicator. If something is difficult, is that God telling you not to go? Or, by the way, is it the devil telling you not to go? How do you know? Okay? Circumstances are actually a very horrible way to determine God's will. Consensus. How about a majority of people say it's okay? Okay? Or maybe even just a majority of Supreme Court justices. Maybe that's all we need. Just 5 votes instead of majority or whatever. But it's not consensus. If everyone thinks it's okay to lie, it doesn't make it right. Okay? Desires. You don't live by what you want. Okay? Whether it's hunger, sexual desire, sleep, right? Those are some of the desires that actually the Bible addresses. And then feelings. You don't live by your emotions, whether you're angry or sad or whatever. God gives us desires. God gives us feelings. He gives us even the ability to develop opinions. But none of those things are foundational ways to start determining what God's will is. Okay? So last week we looked at 3 key steps. And you have to go in this order, okay? It makes absolutely no sense to pursue the will of God outside of this order, okay? You have to identify specific commands, all right? You ask 2 questions. Has God spoken concerning this? If He has, you already know what the will of God is about it, okay? We'll talk about this later, but this is the will of God concerning you, even your sanctification. God wants you to be holy without question. More like that's actually a principle we get down the road here a little bit. But if God has spoken, if He says, do not lie, then is it okay to lie? You know it's God's will not to lie then. Don't steal. Is it okay to steal? If God says, do not steal, then do you have to pray about stealing? No. You know, that's the idea. If God has spoken, your prayer of obedience should be, Lord, help me to obey what You have said. Or it could be positive, too. It doesn't have to be just don't do this. But if it says do this, assemble together faithfully with other believers, that's not an option. That's what God has said we must do. Okay? Has He said to do or not to do this? If that's the case, decision made. Okay, identify specific commands. If God has specifically addressed this in a command. 2 is evaluate general principles. And we're actually going to probably work on 1 and 2 together. The principles, in essence, are somewhat commands, but they're general in nature rather than specific. Okay, we'll give you 1 example tonight. Does something God has said relate to my situation or decision? And again, we'll illustrate 1 tonight very clearly, okay? And it's a principle. It's not saying yes or no. It tells me a particular way to live. And so it gives me the direction I need to know what God wants me to do. Number three, after we've identified specific commands, after we have evaluated general principles, then we need to exercise biblical wisdom. One builds upon the other. It isn't ignoring the specific commands or the general principles. It is building wisdom off of the first two. Okay? So my scope of wisdom is narrowed down based upon what God has said specifically and what God has said generally. Then there's my avenue. And then what does He say is the wisest course of action regarding my decision based upon the Word of God? What's one book of the Bible that has all kinds of things to say about wisdom? Proverbs, right? Okay? That isn't, by the way, the only book that shares wisdom. It just talks about how important it is. This person is wise, this person is foolish. This person is wise, this person is foolish. The foolish man does this, the wise man does this. Okay? And it isn't just Proverbs, like it said. There's principles that we make, and then we make the wisest decision based upon specific commands, based upon the general principles. That's what we base it on. Now, we're going to cover at least 10 principles as we go down this path. Okay? We're only covering one tonight, and we're only covering part of that one tonight, because I felt like we would spend enough time doing this, but if we have enough time, I might just jump into it. We'll see, because I'd prefer to put them together. All right, principle number one, and it's in your notes here, the principle of priority. Principle of priority. Okay? And this is not a new concept. In fact, none of these probably will be new. You might say, ah, that makes sense. Ah, I remember that now. Okay? Something like that. Okay? But let's read Matthew 6:33 together. Okay? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Okay? All right? And we'll come to verses 22 to 34 in a little bit. Remember I said to bring your Bibles? We will need those tonight. All right? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The principle of priority. And we'll explain what that means. But let's break down the verse a little bit, shall we? All right? And that's what your outline is. I don't have numbers, but the verse is on the left side, a little more literally than what it is in the text. And then the points are on the right side, okay? So let's look first at the first word. It's the word but. That's a contrast, right? And I call it this, our purposeful choice. Our purposeful choice. We're picking this up in the middle of a conversation, okay, in Matthew chapter 6. A lot of people memorize verses and they don't get the whole context, right? And so they don't know, okay, how many have sung this as a song? And seek ye first. Yeah. Which is outstanding. It's good, and it's a great verse to memorize. But there's more to be had there. Jesus is saying, instead of doing this, do this. It's a purposeful choice. But, in contrast, do this. All right? Our purposeful choice. I'll put it all together before the night's over. But He's saying, do this, not this. All right? On the contrary, do this. That's what the word but means. Our purposeful choice. Make a purposeful choice to do something different than what I've been talking about, Jesus says. And we'll look at what He's been talking about here shortly. Here's the command here. Be seeking. It's a present tense imperative. It's our practice of looking for. Okay? Present tense means
be doing something. It's not do it once and then I'm done. You are constantly doing this. It's a practice or a lifestyle of looking for something. So he says, instead of doing these things that we haven't talked about yet, on the contrary, be seeking all the time as a lifestyle. This is the way you two are to be living. It's present tense, so it's an ongoing, all the time kind of thing. It's, to me, it fits very well as the first principle. Okay? Be seeking. It's our practice, our ongoing activity of looking for something. We're seeking. Okay? You ever play hide and seek? You know, you're looking for something. When you, this is a lifestyle in an ongoing way, you're doing this all of the time, whatever this is, okay? The next word, and we're just working our way through the passage here, is first. And this is huge. It is the placing before. It's placing something before. Or listen to me now, because most people get this wrong in the Christian circles. As long as God gets a little bit at the beginning, I can do anything else I want. That is not what the passage is saying. It says, be seeking first. Okay? And it's to placing before, as in, okay, this is what I had first, and now I'm taking this and putting it in front of it. We would call that prioritizing, right? The principle of priority. Or, listen to this, in place of. There are things that you should not be doing because there are other things more important that you should be doing in place of them. Always. There are things that are good that you should not be doing because there are things that are more important in God's opinion. I don't think God has an opinion. Okay, in God's view, and that's the right view always. Opinion makes it suggest that it's wrong or could be. No. That there are things that you should not be doing, even though there's nothing necessarily wrong with it. Why? Because there are things that you ought to be doing instead. So either they come before or in place of other things. You are finite. What does that mean? What does finite mean? You have a limited number of minutes. You only have so much time, right? And when you're younger, you probably don't get that very well. You don't understand that. As you get older, you do. You start, they say about 40 years old, give or take, you start crossing things off of your bucket list, kind of, that you'll never get to. Right? Because you start seeing your finiteness. Okay? But you only have a certain amount of time every day. You only have 168 hours in a week. And guess what? They're not all your hours. Because you have to sleep. There's things that other people are telling you to do, like go to work, pay bills, you know, stuff that you wouldn't do, but you have to because you have responsibilities. You might have to help out at duties at home or do this or that. There's things you have to do just to survive, but there's only so much time, and not all of it's yours to do whatever you want with. So you have a finite amount of time, a finite amount of energy. Right? Anyone here get wore out at the end of the day? How many get wore out by 10 a.m.? Yeah. I'm saying just because you want to doesn't mean you have the energy or ability to do everything, right? So some things at the end of every day are left undone. Which things do you leave undone? Right? That's what we're talking about here. Because some things will never get done because you don't have enough energy to do everything. And so you have to choose what you will do. And by doing so, you are choosing what you will not do. How many here have a limited amount of money? Those of you that didn't raise their hand, I'd like to see you after church tonight. Okay? We have limited finances, right? I don't care how much you have. There's always things that you can't have, right? There are things that you cannot afford. Because God hasn't given you the money to do that, and maybe hasn't given you the need to do that, possibly even. Okay? But you only have so much money, so you can't do everything. So you have to choose what you will do, if you will, and we'll talk about how to determine that sum, and what you will not do. And what things come first, and if there's anything left, then. Right? You have to decide some things are done instead of, and some of them are done before, and then it determines, you know, if there's any money toward the end of the month, you might be able to do something with that. Or you might need to save it because the heat bill's coming. Planning ahead there. Minutes, money, muscle, mind. A lot of people don't think this. I was talking to my chiropractor today. And please, just listen. You may disagree with me, and that's okay. Because this is my opinion. I don't believe in ADHD much. Or ADD much at all. Where was I with that? I lost my attention. It's a recent phenomenon. You know what it is? Some of you do. We just sit in front of the television. We sit in front of a computer. We lose our... I was talking again to my chiropractor today, and I said, I don't understand it, but people set their kids in front of television all the time. But literally every study under the sun by unsaved people say that's not good for your kids because that alters their brains when you sit them in front of the television as they develop. It's not a good thing. And then they, because their kids can't function well then, because they're not developing rightly and all that, they have to parent via pills, right? And that's what they do. Now, I'm saying there's ways to do that, but before I'd ever stick my kid on a pill, I'd get rid of all of his electronics for 6 months. And I would see how that worked. Okay? Why? Because your mind can only process so much information. If your mind, let's leave kids alone for a minute. If your mind is an adult or a teenager, young person, is full of all these random details, how in the world are you meditating on the Word day and night? Just asking. Because God says this is what we are to do, so that means there's stuff we are not to be doing, and it isn't necessarily bad. But God says these things need to be first, ahead of or in place of. And you have to do a lot of in place of because you are finite in your mental ability. The more stuff you pump in here, distracting-wise, the less ability you will have to concentrate, meditate, and make wise decisions. That's just the way it is. And as you get older, it even gets more difficult. I'm just telling you, partly is because your hard drive is not very full when you're young. I remember, and I can't remember which child it is, I'll give you an example of how much you forget. But I remember one of the children said one time, he said, Dad, do you remember the trip to Tennessee? And I'm like, when we did this and this and this, and I'm like, actually, did we go to Tennessee? I don't remember. And then they finally refresh me. It's like, oh, okay, you know, I had to search through the back hard drive archive kind of thing in my brain. But they didn't have a lot to remember or worry about. They didn't have to remember when the bills are due or what when the tire's flat or something needs fixed on the car or all the memories I had up to that point, right? That's not an excuse, but it does get more complicated as you get older. It's easier to remember things when you're younger because there's lots of interconnecting things that make it more difficult as you get older. Be careful how you use your mind. Okay? Because you only have so much thinking power. And if your mind is filled with trivia that is non-eternal and actually pulls you away from God, it detracts rather than encourages your walk with God. The last one here, and again, if you're young, this may not connect yet with you, unless you're around enough older people, but eventually your body wears out. And thankfully we can plug in spare parts occasionally for certain things. Pastor Jim's now working with two good knees, right, again. But it's not the same, is it? I'm just asking. I've never had a knee replaced, but I'm guessing even as good as it is, it's not like it was when you were 25 or 12. Okay? But I'm saying your body wears out. The young people, the flappers, memorize Ecclesiastes 12. Remember that? Remember now, your Creator, in the days of your youth, what's the next word? Before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure. And then Solomon goes down and lists all the things that are falling apart. You can't see well, can't hear well, nothing even sounds good, you know, all that. Your legs don't work as well. And the stuff that you used to think was easy now is hard. You know, all of that. So you only have so much body. How are you going to use your body? I always wonder about people that, and again, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's a choice they make, but to play football or something like that. Just in the last couple of weeks, they've come out with the idea of the permanent damage that happens when people playing football. That's a choice, and that's a cost that's invested in that. And you have to say, is that how I want my body spent? Okay, and there's other things too. I'm not very much into boxing and other things because of that. Okay, so that's things to think about. And we use it minutes, money, muscle, mind, and body as we've memorized it before. How many remember that? The five finger thing? Minutes, money, muscle, mind, and body, the five rules kind of thing. But yeah, time, money, energy, I call it muscle, but energy, your mind, your mental capacity, and your physical ability, okay, are all things that you're finite in, you're limited in, and therefore you have to choose some things over others, and God is telling you to look for ways to put something first or in place of. Now let's look and see what he's telling us. Two things here. One is the kingdom of God. The reason why of God is in brackets is because there's most likely that of God isn't in there, but it doesn't change it because it's only the kingdom, right? When Jesus talks about the kingdom, he's talking about his kingdom. But the kingdom of God, it's God's program. So listen, let's put this a little more together then. He says, instead of doing these things, which we haven't talked about yet, be seeking to put first or in place of other things the kingdom of God. How do you find the kingdom of God? Well, let me tell you how I define it here. I'm not necessarily talking about a corporate future entity. Okay, we're not talking about the millennial kingdom. Ultimately, I think there's application for it here, even though Jesus might have been focusing on that. But listen, the kingdom of God is what God wants to happen. His rulership. Okay? I go vote and vote for the best discernment I can exercise, which is, by the way, imperfect, but with the best candidates that I can choose based upon what I think is best for the kingdom of God. Not who will get me the most money back in my taxes. Who will do whatever. Give me more freedoms or whatever, pass laws, you know, whatever. What I think is there, that's just giving you an example. But what will promote what God wants to happen? That's what I'm seeking first. God's program. What does God want to happen? That's what has to be put first. What does God want here? What does God want first here? And, well, he already told us it's first. He wants his kingdom here. What will best affect His kingdom positively? What will best promote what He wants to have happen? That's what it's talking about here. We sing it all the time, but we really don't understand the song much. It sounds good, seeking first the kingdom of God, but how does that flesh out? Well, it's how you prioritize your life to put God's kingdom first. What will best promote God's kingdom? Is it playing video games? Is it watching TV? Is it lounging around the house? Is it just wasting time? Sports? You can go down the list. None of my hobbies are there, so I'm safe. What's my hobby? I like genealogy. I hardly touch genealogy because of this principle, in part, because there's other things that are more important, which I understand for the kingdom of God. Listen, I got to tell you, somebody wrote me the other day from France. This is to give you an idea how back burner my hobby is. Bridget, somebody, I don't know how to say Bridget in France, French. Maybe it's just Bridget. But I'm guessing it's like Brazil, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, she sent me 5 scanned documents of my great-great-great-grandfather. Okay, and actually 4 greats. And his marriage, and then my great-great-great-grandmother, his daughter stuff. It's all in French. I haven't even looked at it. Other than I looked at an email, but I haven't tried to analyze or do whatever. Why? Because there are other more important things to do. Okay? It's on my list. Eventually, someday. Okay, hopefully. But I'm saying some things come before other things, and if I never get to that, that may be what it is. Okay? That's what God is calling us to. He's calling us... Listen closely here and pick whatever things that you pursue mentally and time-wise and even with your money and saying, are you doing what you know God wants you to do by specific commands before you sit down and do all of those other things? And you can put it in. Kevin, you know you're supposed to be meditating in the Word day and night. Are you messing with genealogy when you haven't been doing that? If the answer is no, you have no business. If you're not in the Word every day, I honestly think you have no business watching TV, football, movies, video games, or whatever. Why? Because God has clearly spoken. And one pastor said, and He hasn't stuttered. Right? It's not the lack of clarity that God has said. So, we are somehow missing this because God says all of those things need to be put behind the kingdom of God, promoting the kingdom of God. And by the way, that might mean you actually spending some time studying the Word of God when you're not even teaching a class, just reviewing sermons, memorizing passages of Scripture. I honestly think our obligation as a learner is more to focus on what we've been taught. I'm not saying you can't study, but that's what pastors are given for, to help you break down the Word, and then you take it home and chew on it, and even check up on it. We're not afraid of that, right? See what's there? Your dad came up. Nathan's dad came up. Say, I thought about something when what you said. It was kind of a something I hadn't thought about kind of thing on Sunday. That, not a problem at all, right? We don't mind you thinking. But God's told us to do things. What are we spending all of our minutes, money, muscle, mind, and body on, right? He says we are to put first, before, in front of, or in place of other things. Okay? All right, let me give you a second part here. He said place first, or in place of, the kingdom of God. What does God want to happen in my life on this earth now? That's what I should be focusing on. The next part is, and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God, the program of God, what God is trying to accomplish. And what does His righteousness mean? I believe it has. It's not talking about positional righteousness. If you're saved, you're positionally perfectly right before God. Well, then there's no reason to seek that. It's talking about practical righteousness. It's you're supposed to seek what God wants to happen the way God wants to it to happen. Okay? Righteousness is living rightly, doing right, doing good. He wants His truth to affect the way you live. So you're seeking first the kingdom of God, and it creates in you proactively activity that produces and promotes righteousness. His process. I'll give you an idea. How many think it's all right to give to God? I think it's a good thing. It is. And by the way, He commands us to do that. So it's really not something we have to pray about whether we should give, maybe how much or whatever. But it's there and even in principle. So it's specific commands and principles. Okay? So I'm thinking across the street here, there's a bank. You can go rob the bank and give money to God. What? Trying to promote the kingdom of God here. It's doing God's work. What am I going to say? God's way, right? Or God's ways. Okay? In righteous manners. It's interacting with people on the internet in a righteous fashion. Some of the worst people on the internet are Christians, right? I mean, other Christians. That's what I meant to say. Right? Or what you post, or what you do, or if you should be on there at all. Okay, I see it. Mine is an avenue of influence primarily, so I do it on purpose. Most of you, if you've seen my Facebook, it's not look at my cat. I don't have a cat. Okay, or whatever. So, you know, for different reasons. But it's God's process, doing what God wants, God's way. Okay? The next part here, all these things, I call it other pulls, things that want to pull you away or pull you in other directions. God says, seek first. Be seeking to put first before other things and in place of other things what God wants to happen, the way God wants to happen it. And all these things, these other demands. Now take your Bible and turn to Matthew 6 where this is found. If you've had seminary, that would be the first book of the New Testament. And you're welcome. I tease my seminarians. I had my marker in there so I could turn right to it. Look at verse 24. What is he talking about? Other things. Place first the kingdom of God and his righteousness before or in place of. And notice what he's talking about here. Verse 24. That's what I'm saying. You really need the context. But he says this. No one can serve two masters. So seeking first the kingdom of God is a form of serving God. Otherwise, if you're not doing that, you're serving another master. Okay? Just so you know. If you're not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you are serving something else. Because he says, but... Right? In contrast to that, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, material things, if you think of it that way. He's saying, okay? You can't be friends with God and be loyal to hobbies. Or pastimes. That doesn't make it wrong, the pastime itself. But if God is not first, then you are serving your hobby. You are serving your pastime. You are serving your entertainment. You're serving your whatever. Okay? Verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry. And he's shifting gears a little bit, but he's saying, he's tying it into something very basic. Because it's like, well, Pastor Kevin's talking about hobbies, and well, I just won't do my hobbies as much. No, hang in here. He gets a little more radical. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry. Philippians 4 says, don't be anxious. Same word there. Do not worry about your life. About my life. What you will eat or what you will drink. Now, it's not talking about what you will have for a snack. It's how you will stay alive with food and whatever you can drink. That's what it's talking about here. It's talking about subsistence, not snacking. You know, I'll say, what am I going to order on McDonald's on the way home? That isn't what it's talking about here. Don't worry about where your food to stay alive comes from or where your drink to stay alive comes from. That's what he's talking about here. Nor about your body, what you will put on, clothes to cover your body. Not, oh, I don't know what to choose in my closet. He's saying, don't worry about whether you have clothes or not. Okay? Keep going here. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? And he's saying it is. Life is not existing. Life is not staying alive. Life is more than that. He says this, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap. They don't plant, they don't harvest, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? By the way, it's a rhetorical question. The answer is yes. Okay. Verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Which one of you can grow a foot if you worry enough? You know, worry is a destroyer. Okay. It doesn't do anything but burn us up. 28, so why do you worry about clothing? And again, whether or not you have clothes. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed or dressed like one of these. Okay? Verse 30 now. We're getting close to the end here. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink to stay alive? Or what shall we wear to stay clothed at all? For after these things, the Gentiles think. And if you think of it this way, just to make it easy to understand, unbelievers think that way. For your heavenly Father knows. You might want to mark that down somehow, because this is a big point here. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Okay? Then he goes on to say, but instead, right? Instead of doing that, but make a purposeful choice to do something else. Be seeking. Instead of, listen here, I talked about hobbies, entertainment, and all this. Can I tell you that Jesus was way more radical than that? And he said, instead of worrying about staying alive today, you put first the kingdom of God before staying alive today. And you replace what is necessary, even the worry of what am I going to eat or drink today to stay alive. You put the kingdom of God before it or in place of it. Are you with me here now? Even the basics of life, which we get all goofed up because we say, and I'm making this up, you know, if I can't do genealogy, then something's wrong here. Or if I can't play, what's a video game box? Xbox. Nintendo or whatever, then something's wrong here. And it's like, no, God's saying he should be before you even think about how you're going to stay alive. The kingdom of God should be before that. What does God want me to do? In another month, we'll talk about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And he says the exact same thing in a sense. Command these stones to be made bread. And he goes, man shall not live by bread alone. Right? After not eating for how long? 40 days. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is exactly what he's talking about. You put God first, or in place of any other endeavor, including staying alive. That's what the context of this is. So when we're singing, seek ye first the kingdom of God, it doesn't start with but usually, but that's what it's saying. Instead of worrying or focusing on how am I going to stay alive, our focus is to be, how can I promote the kingdom of God, what God wants to accomplish here and now, the way God wants to accomplish it. Add one more. Shall be added to you, God's promise. As far as I know, God's still feeding sparrows. God is still clothing the lilies of the field. So I don't think this is outside of application today. Some will argue that Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are specific to the Jews, and I would probably lean that way. Specific for Jews for a specific time period. But this, I think, is a timeless truth. God's program, what he wants to accomplish, needs to come first. Otherwise, we're serving another God. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't say God has part of me here and everything else is me. He doesn't say that. We are to be seeking always what will promote God. God's kingdom, what God wants to accomplish here and now, the way God wants to accomplish it, his righteousness. That is to be our ongoing lifestyle. That is the will of God. He commands us to do that. You don't even have to pray about, God, should I put your kingdom first or your righteousness first? Why? Because it's written here that you are to. That you're commanded to. How you do that might take a little more wisdom and application. Lord, how would you want us to put our marriage first, our family first, our church first, the way I interact with people at work or at the store first or whatever? But it's no question whether or not you should. And there should be a whole bunch of things. Listen, that we're doing in place of other things because we're putting God's kingdom and his righteousness first. Okay? It's a good foundational principle there. All right. So a purposeful choice, our practice of looking for it in an ongoing way, it's a lifestyle, not a one-shot deal. It's every, we should be looking for what God would most benefit God's kingdom and his righteousness, what God wants to happen and how he wants it to happen, and putting that first. That should be the priority. God is the priority, and then it orders everything else, believe it or not. It'll change your life. Won't this change your life if God is first? God's kingdom is first and God's ways are first? It'll change what you do every day, all day long. You'll find yourself not doing things that you used to do because they don't put God's kingdom first. Or that it doesn't help you pursue righteousness in your own life. Okay? Let's hand out some more notes, should we? I got something else. It's just a summary statement that I didn't want on the back because I wanted you to look at the front first, so... This is just a summary statement here, and it's up front here. The whole thing is, let me read it, and then we'll read it out loud. I kind of broke it down in your notes, but let me read it first. Putting this in another way, all these points together, let me read it out loud here. It says, I am to be continually looking for and choosing to place as my highest priority in front of or instead of other matters, that which will promote God's program in my life and in the world, and do so in a way that God would have it done, relying on him to care about lesser things as needed. I figured it would be better to hand it out rather than have you write it out. Okay, let's read this together, shall we? And we'll just read it slowly all the way down the list, okay? And I put as my highest priority in brackets because you could actually leave it that out. It'll mean what it says here because it defines that highest priority kind of idea. But we'll read that line as well, okay? So let's start out reading out loud together. I am to be continually looking for and choosing to place as my highest priority in front of or instead of other matters that which will promote God's program in my life and in the world, and do so in ways that God would have it done, relying on Him to care about lesser things as needed. All right, it's a summary in a paragraph. Let's read it one more time, okay? I am to be continually looking for and choosing to place as my highest priority in front of or instead of other matters that which will promote God's program in my life and in the world, and do so in ways that God would have it done, relying on Him to care about lesser things as needed. Okay? So the principle number one is priority. And I'm going to give you a second half next week. This isn't hard, but it's kind of heavy to carry. But I honestly think we, as especially Western Christians, Western Hemisphere Christians, we have so engulfed ourselves in affluency of the freedom of extra time, energy, money, and stuff that other people around the world haven't had throughout history. And we consume ourselves with it. And God is not anywhere near the highest priority, even though we sing about it regularly. Because we don't fully understand what we're singing. It's a wonderful song to sing, but you have to sing it understanding what it means, right? Be seeking first. But instead of seeking even your existence, be seeking first in place of or in front of, place God's kingdom and His righteousness in front of everything, or in place of everything, whatever works there, and all these things will be added unto you. That's what God is saying. That's how important, He says, even to the point of what it takes to keep you alive, God's kingdom should come before that. So the other things, the pastimes, the hobbies, the whatever, are obviously way down the line from staying alive. Okay, so they're even pushed down farther. So I trust that you grab on to this priority number one, the principle number one, the principle of priority, and we'll actually bring it out a little more next week, because there's another passage of Scripture that Jesus explains and says, if you don't do these things, you aren't even my disciple. You're not following me at all. And we're like thinking, well, I went to church 3 times this week. And it's like, he's like, that's a long ways. That's good. But that, discipleship is way more than just showing up in a building somewhere couple times a week. There's way more to it than that. So we'll talk about that next Wednesday night. So, okay? Questions or comments? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, we are so easily consumed by that which is around us. And especially in our Western culture, where we are literally overwhelmed with pastimes. Whether it's electronic devices or gazillions of different football and basketball and soccer and curling and all this that you can watch on TV, or just any number of events we can go to or whatever, Lord, we are drawn so far away. Even the number of books that exist, or the number of magazines that are printed, or the number of radio stations there are. Lord, you tell us to put you first. And oftentimes that is in place of, Lord, help us to make sure that you are first. And that will cause us to remove a lot of stuff from our life, because we cannot put you first with everything else consuming our minutes, money, muscle, mind, and body. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.